Merry Christmas, everyone. So it's now St. Stephen's Day in Ireland, or Great Britain, it's Boxing Day. Anyhow, this video is about the rise and rise of Reform United Kingdom. So Reform UK was only established under that name 3 years ago. The astonishing thing is they're leading in the opinion polls. People are asked, if there were a general election tomorrow, whom would you vote for? And more people say Reform UK than the Conservative Party and Labour Party. So Labour's the governing party, and staggeringly, they fell into third position amongst voter preference within 4 months of forming a government. And that is astonishing. No government honeymoon has ever been so short. So how do they manage to screw it up in absolutely record time? Partly these tax rises, partly lying about the state of the economy, trash talking the economy, became a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now zero growth. The last 5 months, largely thanks to them taking away the winter fuel allowance from most pensioners and just being over generous to public sector workers. What else can I say? So Reform UK is led by Nigel Farage. It's actually a company that he co-owns. So Mr. Farage, he was a metals trader in the city. After attending Dulwich College, he eschewed university. And for people in the financial sector of the 1980s, that wasn't unusual. And he was a ordinary member of the Conservative Party, never contested office as a Tory, was aghast at the United Kingdom joining the European Union. Remember, to 1993, it was the European Economic Community. And he said, well, I'm fine with being about commerce, but I don't want a political union, which is what it's becoming. Arguably, it already always was one. Remember the preamble, the Treaty of Rome in 1957, ever closer union. Admittedly, it says ever closer union of the peoples of Europe, arguably not the institutions. And the United Kingdom joined that EEC in 1973. So Farage and others formed the Anti-Federalist League, or the United Kingdom Independence Party, as it was then called. He was in that, led it some time, eventually decamped from that in 2019, set up the Brexit Party, which has been since rebaptized Reform United Kingdom. It's got the same logo, the out arrow, and the same powder blue colour. So they managed to break through and get some seats in Parliament. Remember, the UK Independence Party only ever won a solitary seat at a general election. And that was because Douglas Carswell, the quondam Conservative and Unionist MP for that seat, was at Clacton-on-Sea. He then stood under the banner of UKIP in a by-election, then stood in the general election and held it, subsequently lost. But actually Reform UK's got it back, which is largely the same brand. UKIP still continues. I can't remember the woman who leads it, but she's a nobody. UKIP is virtually extinct as a couple of councillors. So why is the Reform UK managing to do so well? Partly because Labour has messed up so badly so quickly. They had that Louise Hay scandal. Admittedly, it's not the worst political crime anyone's committed. Incompetence, dishonesty. And the support for them was anemic. They won this last general election partly because they weren't the Conservatives, and the Conservatives had messed up almost every policy area over the past 14 years. Kemi Badenoch is a Conservative leader, and she's quite an effective one. You would have thought that taking over as leader of the opposition when your party's just been in office for 14 years would be a very, very tough task indeed. And she's done quite well considering. I mean, I'm not saying she's astounding, but effective at the dispatch box in Prime Minister's Question Time. But only political obsessives like myself watch that one. And for the Conservatives to have overtaken the governing party only a few months after such a very heavy defeat is a remarkable achievement for her. But yet she's also behind Reform UK. So the Conservatives have been in office for so long and so underperformed, not many people are willing to put the Tories back in office so soon. The Conservatives have got to show some contrition. They've got to lick their wounds, the listening exercise parties always talk about when they're turfed out of office, and then formulate some new policies closer to the general election. So Reform UK, to some extent, is a protest vote. It's a plague on both your houses with the duopoly, with Labour and the Conservatives. And Labour and the Tories have got far more in common than they would care to admit. So Reform UK is off a lot about resentment, about people who are left behind. I was speaking to a senior Conservative just an hour ago, and he was saying, well, actually, they'll eat into Labour's vote too. And empirically, that's true. Not so much. Of people who voted Reform UK this past July, about 50% of them have voted Conservative the previous time, only about 20% Labour, some for other minor parties, or hadn't voted at all in many cases. They're often older, less educated voters, so working class voters in economically depressed areas, particularly up the eastern coast of England, where UKIP did well. So to get five MPs was a tremendous achievement. Remember, the first past the post system is very, very difficult for parties to break through. And Reform UK got way more votes than the Liberal Democrats, and yet they only got five seats, whereas the Lib Dems got, was it 71, which was a staggeringly good result for them, the best result for them in a century. In terms of number of seats, not that good in share of the vote. Remember, the Liberal Democrats did better in 2010 with 23% of the vote. This time was it only 12% of the vote. So Reform UK, they've been able to tap in to that disaffection from Labour and the Conservative Party. They're able to pander to the resentment of older voters who've had the fuel allowance taken away from them, and the fact that people are fed up that paying for people to want benefits long term. People are alarmed about excessive immigration, and this is their unique selling point: is Reform UK. They bring it down to net zero immigration, be like a nightclub that's full, one in, one out. You only let somebody in, one person leaves first, and they ban all non-essential immigration. Well, what's essential then? Because even they admit the United Kingdom needs immigration for the National Health Service, in particular for care workers. Something like 50% of nurses in the United Kingdom came from overseas. With doctors, it's not as high, but it's still pretty high, like 25%. Without immigration, there would be no national health care, or there would be no private health care either. So there'd be a gross insufficiency of them. So they're people who are fed up with DEI, so-called diversity. What's it called? I can't remember what the E is for, and inclusion, but which is really discrimination, exclusion, and intolerance. So they're fed up of the racist, sexist policies pursued by leftists in the public sector and the private sector, people in human resource departments, and so forth, with wokery, with the trashing of British culture and heritage. So they appeal to that. They're very Atlanticist. And they're often Trump worshippers. So that puts off a lot of middle of the road people. That's why I think there is a ceiling, a fairly low ceiling for Reform UK. You know, they're polling up to 30% of the opinion polls. But then if you look at by-elections, admittedly these are sort of local authority by-elections for borough councils, county councils. Labour is still holding seats and indeed occasionally gaining them. And there is a theory that opinion polls are inherently unreliable. Look, Labour did way better in the opinion polls in this past election than they did in the actual election, because the one thing is, an opinion poll is just that. It's not a real vote. And obviously you sample very, very carefully, but it's when people put their ballot box to really vote, sorry, forgive me for the split infinitive, to vote in reality, even a local authority election, that surely that's got to carry more weight than in a survey. But what people say in a survey and how they actually vote are often two different things. And you've got to bear in mind that a lot of people don't vote at all. The one thing is, turnout is so low in local elections, like 30% typically, that it's often unwise to extrapolate that onto the whole electorate. Because remember, in general elections, like 60% of people vote, maybe 65%. So Reform UK, partly they've got some unworkable policies. If people come over, stop the boats, we'll tow them back to France. France is not going to accept them. Why should they? Things like that. So a lot of this is an uncosted wish list. They're anti-environmental. Yes, that would be good for the economy, but in the long term, it wouldn't. So they're offering simplistic solutions to highly complex problems. They're a bit like the Green Party. Now, to a large extent, this is a one-man band. Nigel Farage has been perhaps the most prominent face of Euroscepticism in the United Kingdom for 30 years, although, you know, he wasn't leader of UKIP for that long, and he even gave up the leadership of Reform UK, then took it back. He wasn't even going to stand for Parliament this time. He unceremoniously booted out their candidate in Clacton-on-Sea, which they reckon was their best prospect for being elected to the House of Commons. And indeed, he was duly elected, was his ninth go. You've got to hand it to him, even if you despise him for his resilience, his indefatigability. He kept going, bloodied but unbowed, in spite of numerous defeats. He never, ever gave up. He did not flag nor fail. And Brexit, people thought was an impossibility. He made it happen. Wow, wow. And he is a conviction politician. Some of his convictions annoy them. But you have to doff the cap to him for saying what he believes, which you can't find in mainstream politicians. So the major parties need to get their act together. The UK is looking at low growth, no growth next year, probably more tax rises. People, for all these tax rises they're already paying, they want to see improvement in the National Health Service. Are they going to see it? The recruitment crisis in teaching goes on. There's a crisis of entitlements, this ever-growing benefits bill. Occasionally, I've actually heard some good sense from Labour saying that, no, you don't have a right to get people to pay for you forever. You got to work. So some tough love we both welcome. But I don't see that happening because people, long-term benefits claimants, that's Labour's payroll vote. I'd be very interested to see a breakdown of those benefits claimants, how they vote. You know, if Labour got 34% of the vote last time, of benefits claimants, how much is it? I would think it's a lot higher than that. If Labour doesn't deliver, Reform UK is going to do well. Conservatives are going to find some attractive policies. Otherwise, Reform UK is going to do well. And Suella Braverman is correct that there is no way back to government for the Conservative Party unless it wins over half the Reform UK voters at least. So that's why I thought Reform UK was a flash in the pan. It was a yelp of pain. It would disappear, not totally, but it would be way less significant in the next election, 2028 or 2029. And so far, that's not looking correct. Now, May, the first Thursday in May is where the local elections are held in most of England and Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland at other times. Remember, there are up to 20,000 local councils in the United Kingdom. So about 5,000 of those are up for election each year. So Reform UK will probably win some councils. I'm talking like about 50, but coming from almost zero, that would be a significant gain for them. I don't see them winning any local authorities, certainly not this time. My friend, who's fairly high up with the Conservative Party, not an MP, saying Conservatives are going to make minimal gains next time, despite disenchantment with Labour. So anything can happen. Another point is Sir Keir Starmer. There are already mutterings about him being ousted as Labour leader, sharpening the knives. I don't think they'll knife him before the May local elections. Maybe not till the end of this parliament. I don't see him leading Labour into the next general election. What I think he will stand down as Labour leader in 2028, 2029, a couple of months before they've decided to call the general election, allow Labour to pick a new leader, Rachel Reeves, God forbid Angela Rayner, Yvette Cooper, David Lammy, one of those, and she, more likely she than he, lead Labour into the next election, a bit of a fillip for the new Prime Minister. And Starmer will retire as Prime Minister, maybe retire from the House of Commons at that point. Harold Millen, Prime Minister, 1957 to 63. What's the most important thing in politics? Events, dear boy, events. So could renewable energy bring prices down? Could world oil prices come down? Ukraine win the war, or at least the war end with some sort of compromise? Any of this would work for Labour. Are the NHS waiting lists going to come down? Can they somehow improve education? Unlikely. No more strikes. Any of this could be good. A big scandal at the Conservative Party. Kebby Badenoch be knifed by her own party. Any of these things could happen, which would redound to Labour's fortune. I don't see things getting much better for Labour. But it's very hard to see the Conservatives winning next time, certainly not outright. But Labour's got such a big majority, it's very hard for them to lose it completely. 411 MPs, you only need 326 to form a government. So I think they'll lose a lot of those next time. Maybe it'd be down to 346. So very likely be the largest party and have a majority in the House of Commons. But Reform UK, their five MPs, I used to think they'd be annihilated as the parliamentary party next time. Now I'm thinking probably not. May even make a couple of gains, be up to, say, seven or eight MPs. But obviously it's a fool's errand to forecast it so far out. Because the Conservatives, there's only one way they can go up. The point is, does the Conservative Party gain significantly or not from 121 MPs? I mean, I'm thinking, yes, in the dozens, but not coming anywhere near Labour. Probably still be under 200 the next election. The Liberal Democrats are so high, and they gained about 60 seats last time, most of them from the Conservatives. Over 50 of the Conservatives, a few from the SNP. So the Lib Dems will probably lose quite a few of those, like, you know, 20 or 30. We shall see. We live in interesting times. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.